Toyway, Northwest London, Yud Gimel Elul, 9th of September, Harav Mordechai Weiss Shlita, Parsha theme. This week's Toyway Shurim have been sponsored Lischus Moshe Ben Pesel Scheindel Nun Yud. We daven for our dear friend Mr. Joseph's return to Toyway in good health. She is Kelly Rafu Shlema B'Sach Shochel Yisrael.
Good morning, everyone. First of all, as usual, I'd like to thank the organizers for giving me the opportunity to be part of this wonderful Toyway. It's a special honor and privilege each time separately. And I constantly look forward to the next time, and hopefully you too. Someone came up to me last night and said that perhaps I should speak about the passing of Her Majesty the Queen. And the truth is, I do usually like to talk about current affairs, because I think that if Hashem does something in the world, then there's something we could learn, and definitely there's a lot that could be learned about these, it can learn from her herself personally, and from the whole monarch, and from the whole, there's a lot you could learn, especially this time of the year. But since they only informed us last night, I think it was after 6 o'clock, so that didn't really give me much time to prepare, so I think I'll stick to the first speech I prepared. And I'll leave this topic for perhaps the speakers of next week. Maybe they'll talk about it. I'm sure you'll get some good talks on this topic. So I'll go back to the original one, which I had prepared. And as we're going to see soon, it also has something to do with the current affairs, but not exactly to do with the Queen, but it has definitely to do about current affairs. So we have to start off with the Parsha, because every Friday you have to start off speaking something about the Parsha. So in the end of this week's Parsha, we find the Parsha of Mechiyas Samulaik, which is a mitzvah that we have to completely erase the Zaychel Amulek, Timcha Zaychel Amulek. And in the parasha of Amulek, the Torah goes on to tell us exactly what Amulek did to us. And the Torah says an interesting thing. Zuchoyr Eis Asha Usuluch Amulek. Remember what Amulek did to you. Badeirech Betzaischem Mitzrayim. On the way out of Mitzrayim. Shekaruchu Badeirech. And the Pusik goes on to say what he did to us. The question is, why is it so important to know where he did this thing, when, what era it was? It happened when we went out to Mitzrayim. Why is that such important information? It's enough to know that he did very bad things, and therefore we have to hate him, we have to eradicate him, and we have to completely erase him. But why is it so important to know exactly what era, when exactly it happened, and where it happened? Obviously there's some message that we have to take out of this whole thing. We know this Chodesh is Chodesh Elul, and the most famous of all the Rosh we heard before from Rabbi Yanki, many various Rosh HaTayvesen, but I think we'll all agree that the most famous one of the Rosh HaTayvesen is the Rosh HaTayves of Ani Ledoidi Ledoidi Li. Elul stands for the Rosh HaTayves of Elul is the Ribbono Shel Olam, the relationship between the Ribbono Shel Olam to Klal Yisrael and the Klal Yisrael to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So first of all, the question is, what does that mean to us? How do we, what does that mean? What does that apply to us on a practical level, number one? And number two, it seems like the message here is that we have to work on our relationship between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. The question is, why is that so important now in Chodesh Elul? Why does it come into here to Chodesh Elul? I would have thought that maybe Chodesh Elul should be more the focus on preparing for the big court case that's coming up. Tremendous court case, which is going to have very, very important consequences. It's the day that we're going to be judged. Sifrei Chaim, Psichim Lefunov. It's an extremely important day. We should be preparing and finding lawyers, solicitors, advocates. We should be busy with that. Why is it that it seems like the main message here is Ani Ledoidi Vedoidi Li? We should be working on our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. I think that has to be addressed. The next question, which is a very important question, is, if you're going to look through the tefillahs, if you take out the machzor for Rosh Hashanah, we're going to notice a very, very interesting thing. I would have thought Rosh Hashanah, as we said before, is a day where the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to be mishpat, it's a day of a court case, where Sifrei Chaim Psichim Lefunov, which means that everything which is going to happen in the coming year is all going to be based on Rosh Hashanah. And the Sfarim say that Chaim and Chavid Lefakeh doesn't necessarily mean only life and death. It means any good thing which is going to happen to the person over the year anything, any aggravation, chodidah v'chas, it's all, every single, to the most minute level, is all going to be passing on Rosh Hashanah. It's all going to be on Rosh Hashanah. That's when it's going to be judged, and that's when the verdict is going to come out. So it's a tremendously important day. If you would have asked me what should be the main focus of the tefillahs of Rosh Hashanah, I would have said that tefillahs should be, we should be asking the Ribbono Shel Olam, please give us health, please give us wealth, please give us kandusa, give us nachas, we should have nachas from our kids. That should be the main focus. We should be busy with that day in, day out, and that should be the main focus of the tefillahs. Open up a machzor Rosh Hashanah, you will find that the takuna of the Anshei Knesset HaGdoyde, we don't find not even one single tefillah that we ask on our personal things. All we're talking about is the Ribbono Shel Olam. We beg you that please send back the Beis HaMikdash. If Echayin Tayin Pachtachu, if Echayin Tayin Kuvet, please put back the, bring back the glory of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And Echayin, it says, Simelech Atu Hi Hashem Levadeichu, you should be the king over the whole world. V'yayda Kol Puil Ka'atu Pa'altu, everyone should know, everyone should see and recognize and know that you are the king. These are all the tefillahs from beginning to end. We're focusing constantly on asking the Ribbono Shel Olam to bring back Mashiach. Question is, where does this come in Rosh Hashanah? I think this would be more appropriate on perhaps on Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is the day that we mourn the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. That should be, the tefillahs should be in the Beis HaMikdash. The focus should be more on asking that we personally should be zeichet, should merit to have a good and happy year. That should be the focus. Afterwards, they added on a few little lines here and there, Zochrayin Yilachayim, Melech Ofetz B'Chayim, B'Saif V'Chayim. It's little additions that they added on afterwards. They did us a favor, they added on a few words here, a few words there. That's not part of the Anshei Knesset HaGdoyde. Anshei Knesset HaGdoyde were not massacring that. We have the regular, there's not even one single tefillah besides for the regular tefillahs we have every yontah, which is the Yalav Yovah. But otherwise, we don't find any tefillahs on our own personal well-being. Why is that so? This is the day that we are going to be judged, and we are going to be, everything of us is going to, it depends on this day. Shouldn't this be the focus of the tefillahs? I think that's a very, very important question. I think the answer is as follows. And let us give perhaps a mushul, which obviously didn't happen, but maybe perhaps could have happened. Imagine if someone has got a court case coming up, and we're talking, it's a very, very serious case against him. It's a high profile case, which the verdict could be anywhere between Chulila V'chas death sentence and anything lighter than that, but it's a very, very serious case against him. So you could imagine this person is preparing for this day, and he brings the best lawyers, the best solicitors, and he goes and he works very, very hard, and he tries to find out who specializes in these types of cases and who has a history of succeeding, and he manages to find that he pays thousands and thousands of pounds. Now, because it was such a serious case and it's going to be watched live, the whole world is going to watch this case, it's a very, very, very serious case, they decided an interesting thing. They're not going to use the regular judges that they use the whole year round. They're going to take a jury, you know, here in England, that goes that they very often, they randomly pick people from the telephone book, and they just call you up and say you're called in. I think it's a jury, is it called?
Jury
called
service.
What? Jury service. So I think usually they call a few. Now, how many do they call usually?
12.
12 jury service. So with this case, they decided that it's such a high-profile thing. 12 would just make things problematic, because 6 would say this way, 6 would say the other way. They're just going to take one. They're going to pick one particular individual. It could be any random person from the telephone book. He is going to be the person who is going to be giving out the verdict on this very, very high-profile case, which is, it's a tremendous, tremendous case. So don't forget, it's going to be watched by millions and millions of people. Almost as many people who are going to be watching the funeral of the Queen next week are going to be watching this court case. A big, big, big court case. So the person comes in and he has no idea who this fella is going to be. This person may end up being an anti-Semite. He may end up being, and history has shown that very often you can get people who, terrible, terrible people, they could end up sitting there. And it could end up the other way around. So he has no idea who's going to end up being his jury. Comes the final day, and you can imagine what he feels like. And he's trembling. He's trembling, and he's walking in with his family supporting him, his wife, his kids, his friends. And he has, of course, his lawyers and solicitors that all come along with him. And then, of course, on the other side of the room, he sees all the people there who are out against him, standing there on the other side. And the room is packed full of people. And everyone is waiting for this judge who's going to be coming in and who's going to give out this verdict. And of course, all the screens are all there zooming in. And finally, the minute comes, and the door opens up, And in walks the judge, the jury walks in, and he comes in, and everyone's looking there. And guess what? This person is no other than his own father. It happens to be that they picked a random name on the telephone book and happened to land up on his father. His father happened to have been the person, of course they didn't put two and two together, they didn't clap that it's the father of this person, and he comes in. And let's just think for a moment what feelings are going through this person. Here he was, preparing himself for the worst. He knew that this verdict could come out to be a death penalty. And here he finds the jury to be none other than his own loving father. He's sitting there with a smile on his face. One thing you could be sure, probably the maximum punishment he'll get will be a £60 fine, and perhaps that will be reduced to half if he's going to pay it within 30 days. It'll be reduced to half. That's probably going to be the maximum. Now, you can imagine the feelings of relief when he knows that this judge is none other than his own father. This is what's going to happen this Rosh Hashanah. This Rosh Hashanah we are preparing now for this court case, tremendous court case, but we have to know one thing. He Ayodaya, the he who ate, the Rosh Hashanah, he's the one who knows everything and he is going to be the prosecutor, but he's also going to be our solicitor, he's going to be our lawyer, and more than that, he will be our judge. That's the most important thing. The famous Pizmon we say, Ve'evrach memchu aylechu. Because I'm so terrified of this court case, I'm going to run away from you to where? To you. Because there's no other place to run to. But I think this is where it's very, very important, okay, which I want to be myself, which I want to add on, which I think this is the most critical part of this whole thing. And I'll repeat the story which I recently repeated. And Josh will remember it. I think it's a good story which brings out a certain point. They say the story happened that the Baditch Veruv once came to a town. And in that town there was a Pikoiris. There was a Pikoiris in town, what's a Pikoiris called in English?
Apostate.
Yeah, he didn't believe, it wasn't an unbeliever, he didn't believe. And he was in town. What? And the Baditch Veruv came to town, and they were both walking up the street, and they met up in the middle of the street. Now, people wanted to watch and see what's going to happen here. They were sure that the Baditch Veruv was going to go out and hold rant against him. Baditch Veruv asked his fellow, do you believe in God? Do you believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam? He says, no. So Baditch Veruv looks at him and he says, you know, we're both twins. We're both on the same page. Because the Ribbono Shel Olam that you don't believe in, I also don't believe in that Ribbono Shel Olam. But the Ribbono Shel Olam that I believe in, you also believe in. And what I try to bring up is, people have the wrong perception on the Ribbono Shel Olam. They have the wrong view of the Ribbono Shel Olam. People very much view him as a dictator who's out to get us, and he's looking for opportunity to try and bring us down and to try and find us doing something wrong. That's the Ribbono Shel Olam that they're used to looking at. But the truth is that it's not that way. The Ribbono Shel Olam is a loving father who loves us to no end, and he wants to be close to us, and he wants to spend time with us. He is our loving father. Says the Baditch Veruv an unbelievable thing, and I think that's the most critical part of this whole thing. Says the Baditch Veruv, do you want to know how the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to treat you? It's going to depend on how you view the Ribbono Shel Olam. If you are going to view the Ribbono Shel Olam as a bad chavid v'chas, a bad being, as a dictator, as someone who's out to get you, then unfortunately that may very well be the case. He may very well treat you that way. Whereas if you view the Ribbono Shel Olam as a loving father who loves you to no end, then this will be the way he will treat you. He says, Hashem Tzilcho, the Ribbono Shel Olam is your shadow. What does it mean is your shadow? He says, shadow means the shadow follows the person. Whatever the movement the person does, the shadow also does. Zuk the Kedishas Laivi, that if the person, the way he views the Ribbono Shel Olam, that's going to be the way the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to treat him. If he treats the Ribbono Shel Olam as a loving father, the Ribbono Shel Olam will treat him like a loving father. We say in the Tfilas in Rosh Hashanah, we ask the Ribbono Shel Olam, Im Kavunim, Im Kavudim. If we are like sons, then treat us like sons. If we are like slaves, treat us like slaves. Then Anayin Ilechut Lias. What's the Im? What's the question here? Answer is, it depends on how you treated him. If you viewed him and you treated him like a father, then it's Im Kavunim, then it's, we are his sons. And then Rachamayni Kiracham Avavunim, he will have Rachmunas on us, and he will do us good like a father does to a child. Im Kavunim, if we treat him like we are slaves and he is our king, then Anayin Ilechut Lias, we're definitely hoping for the best, but it's not guaranteed. That's a very, very important message. And I think that brings out the Elul. We said before, El stands for Ani Ledoidi Vedoidi Li. Stands for the relationship between us and the Rebbeinu Shlomo. The question is, why is that so critical? Why is that so important in Chodesh El? And the answer is, yes. This is the most critical thing. Why? Because we're up against a huge court case. And we are looking now for the best advocates, we're looking for the best lawyers, for the best solicitors. The best lawyer we could find is, if this judge will be no other than our loving father, that's the best case scenario. That's the best thing you could hope for. How do we do that? Very simple. By working on our perception of the Ribbono Shel Olam, by changing our perception of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and by viewing the Ribbono Shel Olam as our loving father, that's going to guarantee that the one sitting, the judge sitting, the jury sitting on the head of the table will be none other than our father. This is what we have to work on Chodesh El, to work on this perception of changing the perception of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And I think there are two indications that bring out, do we treat the Ribbono Shel Olam as a father? Do we view him as our father or not? I think there's two ways that could be, there's many more ways, but I'll just note two of them. One simple way, symptom, or way to tell whether the person has a loving relationship is whether he enjoys spending time with him. No one enjoys spending time with a dictator. No one, as far as I'm aware of. But people do enjoy spending time with a loving father if, of course, if they have a healthy relationship, they enjoy spending time with them. The question is, how much do we enjoy being in the company of the Ribbono Shel Olam? How much do we enjoy spending time with the Ribbono Shel Olam? That's going to be an indication if you view him like Chalila v'chas a dictator, or if you view him like a loving father. Dovid HaMelech says in Tehillim, and we say that in the Mizmor in Chodesh El, Achas shu'alti ma'ais Hashem, oysa v'akesh, one thing I ask from the Ribbono Shel Olam. The one thing is, shifti beveis Hashem kol yamei chayei. I want to do one thing. I want to spend as much time as I could with you. I want to sit in your house kol yamei chayei. That's what Dovid HaMelech asks for. He asks for nothing more than that. In the Vakav Echol, I want to come visit your palace and spend as much time as I could with you. And what does the capital go on to say? The Ribbono Shel Olam says, if so, then that means you are my child. That means you view me as your father. So then you could be guaranteed, ki it's penayni besiko beyoim ru. When it's going to come a difficult day, a hard day, you could be enemies against you, I will protect you. You will be under my protection, yastirayni besayisra hale. Because if you view me as a loving father, then I'm going to treat you as a loving son. It goes both ways. That's, I think, one indication that shows. But I think there's another indication also, which is also very, very important. And that is, if a person ever sits in a room and he hears a group of people talking, and they're talking about none other than his father, they have no idea that he's a son, and they talk extremely disrespectful. And that's especially if his father is a very well-known person, a very chushuv person, and he hears them talking and denigrating him and making fun of him in a very, very nasty way. The question is, how much is that going to bother him? If it wouldn't be his father, probably couldn't care less. If it's his own father, it will torture him to no end. He won't be able to. He just won't be able to take it. He won't be able to take it. How could people talk about and denigrate my father to this extent? If a person wants to know whether he treats the Ribbono Shel Olam, he has to ask himself this question: when was the last time that it really bothered him that there's such a chilul Hashem in the world, that people do not respect the Ribbono Shel Olam, that people are not aware of the Ribbono Shel Olam? When was the last time they cried out to Hashem that more than 80% of our people, the Ribbono Shel Olam's kids, have no idea what Shema Yisrael means? They have no idea who their own father is. And when was the last time that we cried for the tzad that we could imagine that the father has when he knows that his own children have no idea who he is? When was the last time we asked for that? And the fact that the Yidden are going through what they're going through in Gulas, and the Ribbono Shel Olam have tzad, the Ribbono Shel Olam, it hurts him to no end. When was the last time it bothered him for that? It bothered us that the Ribbono Shel Olam is going through this hardship. Kulani Maroshi, Kulani Mazroi, when a Yid goes through anything, then the Ribbono Shel Olam also cries. That's a proof how much it bothers us if he's our father. If he would be our father, it would bother us to no end. That's the answer to the question we started off. The Tfilos of Rosh Hashanah are busy with one thing. We're asking Ribbono Shel Olam, please, v'chaim tayin kovod, bring back your glory, bring back your kovod, that people should know, v'yayda kol puil ke'atu pa'alto, that everyone in Klal Yisrael should know who created them. Everyone should recognize the Creator. People should know that the only king of the world is the king, the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. That is the tefillah that we focus. The question we ask, why do we not focus on our own things, on our own health, on our own well-being, on our own children, our own panusa? The answer is, That's all not necessary. Because if we're going to treat the Rabbeinu Shlomo as our father, he will take care of everything. We don't have to ask anything more than that. He is our judge. He'll figure out the best. Yifchaluni, as we say that, and the Psikim say before Tehillim that the Rabbeinu Shlomo, Yifchaluni es nachalusayni. He will already choose for us what's best for us. He will take care of all our needs. We don't have to do anything. The only thing we have to do is change our perception of the Rabbeinu Shlomo and work on figuring out that the Rabbeinu Shlomo is our father. Once we are going to have that perception of the Rabbeinu Shlomo, then that's going to change everything. Everything else is taken care of. It's not even necessary to ask for it, because he's already going to ask for it. He's going to take care. He's the best lawyer, he's the best solicitor, and he's the best judge. This is one thing which Amulek could not take. Amulek cannot accept this thing, this relationship of the Rabbeinu Shlomo and Klal Yisrael. It's something which he can't take. He doesn't want that. But the Amulek wants one thing. He wants to disconnect the relationship between the Rebbeinu Shlomo and Klal Yisrael. It says in Chazal, Ein Hashem Shulem v'Ein Akisa Shulem Ad Shem Chazal Shalom Amulek. The Rebbeinu Shlomo's name is not full, is not complete, as long as Amulek is around. What's Rebbeinu Shlomo's name? Rebbeinu Shlomo's name is Hashem Elokai Yisrael. V'Shem Chu Agudu V'Kudesh Ulai Nikirusu. His name is Elokai Yisrael. That's his name. His name is, if you ask him what his title is, he's our loving father. That's his title. Amulek want to disconnect that. So as long as Amulek are around, then the Rebbeinu Shlomo's name is only half. It's not complete because it's missing half of the title. Half of the title is that he is our father. V'ayin Akisa Shulam, the seat Kaviyuchel, the throne of the Rebbeinu Shlomo, Yaakov Avinu is Merkubah L'Shekhinah, and one of the feet that hold the throne of the Rebbeinu Shlomo is Yaakov Avinu is Klal Yisrael. Amulek wants to get rid of that. So as long as Amulek is around, then the throne of the Rebbeinu Shlomo is not complete. That's Amulek. It says in Chazal that when there was the Mechemes Amulek, when the Yidden went out to war against Amulek, it says, Yeshia Benim picked up Moshe Rabbeinu's hands. And the Gemara asks the question, V'chi Yudav Shal Moshe Oysa Mechume? When Moshe Rabbeinu picks up his hand, that's going to make the Yidden win the war. So Chazal tell us that no, that Bezman She Yisrul Meshabdim Libom, what does it say afterwards? La'vihem Shebashamayim. That as long as the Yidden notice that the Rebbeinu Shlomo is our father, then they're guaranteed to win the war. Because then the Rebbeinu Shlomo says, if you treat me as a father, I will treat you as a son. This is Amulek. When was a time in the Jewish history where the closeness, the relationship between the Rebbeinu Shlomo and Klal Yisrael was at its peak? That was after the Yidden went out of Mitzrayim. That was after the Yidden had gone through the Nissim. And we say in Agudah Shepaisich, 250 Nissim. Nissim means miracles, which is completely unheard of. Today we find the titles in the papers are all busy with the Queen's passing. In the days of Mitzrayim, every single day, the headlines of the newspapers were full, one after the other, one miracle on another miracle on another miracle, which happened day in, day out. 250 open miracles which happened. And on every single article that said at the top, it's because the Rebbeinu Shlomo loves Klal Yisrael. Because the Rebbeinu Shlomo loves them, that's why he made another miracle. He made the Makas Dom, he made the Makas Tzvadaya, Makas Kinim. That was on the newspapers in the Egyptian newspapers. I don't know which newspapers had around at the time. But that was what people spoke about. The whole world knew the tremendous relationship between the Rebbeinu Shlomo. And then came Yetzias Mitzrayim, where the Jews showed their dedication or their devotion to the Rebbeinu Shlomo. Nachshon Ben Amnon jumped into the sea, jumped into the Yamsif. It was a two-way relationship. The Rebbeinu Shlomo showed us how much he loves us, and we showed him how much we love him. We are prepared to jump into the sea for his sake. That was the highlight, that was the peak of the relationship between the Rebbeinu Shlomo and Klal Yisrael. And Amulek came along and they said, now is the time to jump in. Now is the time. I can't take the fact that the Yidden should live not even one more day with this Rebbeinu Shlomo's relationship. So that's when he jumped in. Specifically then, he jumped in and he said, I am now going to disconnect the Klal Yisrael from the Rebbeinu Shlomo. So the Pusik goes on to say, when did this story happen? It happened Baderech Betzayischem Yimitzrayim. Why is it so important? Why is it so critical to know when it happened? It's because it brings out what the Samulek wanted. They wanted this, specifically this thing, to disconnect the relationship between the Rebbeinu Shlomo and us. That we should no longer view the Rebbeinu Shlomo as a loving father, but rather we should view him more like as a dictator, as a moishel, as a king. That is our avodah of the Chiyas Amulek. Chiyas Amulek is a personal level. Every single person has his little Amulek inside him, which tells him constantly, time and again, the Rebbeinu Shlomo is out to get you. He's a dictator, chulil v'chas. He doesn't want the good of you. And we have to constantly remind ourselves that's not the case. He's our loving father who can't get enough of us, who loves us to no end. And there's no other love in the world. But the Shem Tov said that if you're going to take together, collect all that I have, all the love in the world that's ever been from the beginning of the world to the end of time, take together all that love and put it all together in one place, doesn't come even to a tip of an yam, not even like a drop in the ocean, to what the Ribbono Shel Olam loves, the most simplest of Klal Yisroel, the most simplest Yid, the love is to no end. This is how we get rid of our little Amalek. I'll finish off with an interesting story. It's a nice story. It's a true story which it's brought down the Behusha Rebbe, the Chon Lebruche, used to repeat the story many times. It's a nice story, sweet story. The story which happened, the true story which happened to Shpala Zayde. Shpala Zayde many, many years ago. He was a famous tzaddik, famous Pesidish tzaddik. And the story goes as follows. There was a Yid called Mendel. I'm not going to go into the details, but it's the point of the story. There was a Yid called Mendel who got summons to go to the court in the Russian, he lived in Russia. He had moved from Romania to Russia, and he is now being judged, or suspected as if that he, before he left Romania, he stole from the prince or from the whatever it was, from the thing, he stole a whole big amount of money, and he's now going to be prosecuted for that. And neither the Russian government nor the Romanian government were big Jew lovers, and they didn't love Jews too. And you can imagine that probably the outcome of this thing will be a very terrible outcome. And he was in a very, very bad place. He went to his Rebbe, the Shpala Zayde, and he said he doesn't know what to do. He's got this big court case coming up, and it's a high-profile court case, and if he's going to find guilty, then that's it. He'll be sentenced for life, and who knows, God forbid, who knows what else is going to happen to him. Shpala Zayde told him, he had a minig that on Purim, used to make, as other people have this minig, they used to make a Purim Shpil, a show, they make a little show, they used to act out a certain story, and very often there's very big, interesting lesson that happened in that. So he told this Mendel, the person who was being judged, and he told him, I ask of you one favor, try and get them to arrange that this court case should take place on Purim itself, and I'll take care of the rest. So he said, who should I take as a lawyer? He said, don't have to do anything. How much money were you prepared to pay for a lawyer? He said, how much it was? 500 rubles. Give me the 500 rubles. I happen to have an orphan getting married in another week's time. I'll give the money to the orphan to marry him off. You're going to be taken care of. I'll send you a lawyer. I'll send you a solicitor. So he said, how would I know who's going to be my lawyer? So Shpala Zayde told him he's going to be wearing a white top hat and red gloves. He's going to be, and I'll send him. I've got my connections with the good lawyers. I'll send him to you. So Mendel goes out, and he asks them to arrange that this court case should take place on Purim. On Purim itself, the Shpala Zayde calls together a whole group of his Hasidim, and he said, we're now going to play out the court case of Mendel. So he got three people there, going to be the three judges, and he got another person who's going to be the prosecutor, and of course he's wearing this, painted his face black, and he's got another two people who they're going to be the ones who are going to say all the bad things that Mendel did. Then, of course, he got two people on the other side who they're going to represent Mendel's case, and the whole thing, and he is, of course, going to be the judge, and he himself, and he got a solicitor to talk and present the case, and they put on, the Shpala Zayde himself put on his hat, on his shtramel, he put on a white sheet, and put on red gloves, and he started, and of course, they made the whole court case, and everyone said what they had to say, and of course, he started to go, made a whole big presentation, and of course, the verdict came out that he's completely innocent, and Mendel is good to go. After, a few days after Purim, a telegram comes from Mendel, and he says he won the case. So finally, he comes to the Rebbe, the Ol Chassidim wanted to know what went on. So he said, I'll tell you what went on. I came into this court case, I was trembling, I was terrified. I didn't even prepare, not even one lawyer. I had no one representing me. And they, of course, had a whole group of people representing them. They had the government, the Romanian government sent their own representatives to come there. As I'm sitting there, all of a sudden, this very handsome person comes in, wearing this white top hat, red gloves, and he had this very sophisticated way of talking. And he put down a case, you could imagine, the people were standing there with their mouths open, and you could imagine it didn't take long until I won the case. So he came to the bench, he came into the Shpala Zayde to thank him. Shpala Zayde said, what do you say to my solicitor? I took good care of you. That money that you spent to give to Tzedokah, that was the money that created this angel who he came and he represented you in court. This is what is going to happen this Rosh Hashanah. The Ribbono Shel Olam is going to be sending his solicitor. He's going to be sending his lawyer. He, Kavyochel himself, will be sitting there at the head of the table. He's going to be our judge. He's going to be the one, the Ribbono Shel Olam himself, judging us. But that's only if we remember this one condition, that he is our father. If he is our father, then he will treat us like our kids. It's going to be the Ani Ledoidi, Vedoidili, where maybe all be Zoyche, Bekura, to Aksiva, Vechasima, Toiva, to Agitke, Ben Shmazel. Thank you.
Thank you.